Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Binding the Wolf, an adaptation of a Norse myth written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Ariana and Sebastian and their family in Ottawa, Ontario, Jeremy and Teddy and their family in Havertown, Pennsylvania, Azalea and Delphine and their family in Seattle, Zoe and Lydia and their family in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Addison, Mason, and Emma and their family in Kingston, Massachusetts, and Sydney and Evie and their parents, Susan and Brendan, in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much, Brendan, Susan, Evie, Sydney, Emma, Mason, Addison, Lydia, Zoe, Delphine, Azalea, Teddy, Jeremy, Sebastian, and Ariana. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Today's episode of Stories Podcast is brought to you by Care Of. Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you in the long term. All of Care Of's products are formulated with good-for-you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. All you do is take an in-depth 5-minute online quiz and you get a personally tailored approach to your unique health needs. I took the online quiz and answered questions about my diet, lifestyle, and health concerns, and I was really impressed with the recommendations I got. Care Of suggested some supplements that would support my brain function and mood, and they even recommended a protein powder to help round out my diet. My favorite part was that Care Of was super transparent about the researching and sourcing behind each one of their products, so I could read about why they thought it would work for me and where it came from. If it was hard to keep up with your New Year's resolutions in January, make February a new fresh start and make taking better care of your health a priority. And make it super easy with Care Of. For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code STORIES50. Again, for 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code STORIES50.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Binding the Wolf. You've heard the stories of Odin, the Allfather, and lord of all the gods and goddesses in Asgard. You've heard, too, of mighty Thor, the god of thunder, and his mighty hammer Mjolnir. Of course, there is Loki, the trickster god who is always getting the rest in trouble, and Baldur, the brother who was killed by mistletoe. But lesser known, and the bravest of them all, was Tyr, who gave his good right arm to save the world. It started with Loki causing trouble, as most Norse stories do. This time, the trickster god had married a colossal giantess named Angerboda. She was a powerful sorceress, full of dark magics, and the people knew her as the Witch of the Ironwood. When she and Loki got together, everyone from the giants to the gods and goddesses of Asgard feared what they would do. The pair had 3 children, each more fearsome than the last. There was Hela, the half-skeleton witch who went on to rule the underworld and watch over the souls of the dead. There was the Midgard serpent, a snake so large it encircled the entire earth, holding its own tail in its venom-dripping mouth. But the oldest and mightiest of all was Fenrir, the monstrous wolf. Even as a pup, Fenrir was twice the size of the biggest alpha wolf in the world. His fur was the coarse gray of dirty smoke, and his eyes were the red of dried blood. His every tooth was like a spear, and his growls could shatter boulders. And from there, he only grew larger and more dangerous every day, until even the gods and goddesses feared to feed him. Only brave Tyr dared to get close enough. It wasn't long before Odin, Thor, and Tyr got together to make a plan. They knew that Fenrir would only grow more dangerous, and they couldn't trust Loki or the Witch of the Ironwood to stop him. If they were going to keep the monstrous wolf from devouring the entire world, they knew they needed to lock him away where he couldn't hurt anyone. The problem was that the wolf was already too big, too strong, and far too vicious. He would cut through a rope with the blink of his eye, and any normal chain would snap like a chicken bone with his slightest pull.
"Sons," said Odin, "what can we do? The brute is too mighty for us to hold."
"I tried to slay him," said Thor, scowling at his magic hammer, "but that wolf is too tough. I can level mountains, but I don't think he even felt it."
"I'm the only one who will feed him anymore," said Tyr, "and even I'd rather not get too close."
Odin sat for a time in deep thought, his one good eye twinkling with magic.
"Well," he said, "there's nothing else to do. We must lock Fenrir the wolf away before he swallows the sun from the sky and the grass from the ground and everything in between."
"But we have nothing strong enough to bind him," said Thor.
"Ah, but the dwarves will," said Odin.
Together, the three went deep underground to the home of the dwarves. It smelled of fire and metal and coal, and the music of hammers on steel and stone rang through the halls day and night. They found a dwarven blacksmith and told him of their challenge, and he made them a strong chain. The links were each as big as an anchor, thicker around than Thor's mighty bicep, and only he could carry it.
"Thank you," said Odin. "Hopefully this shall bind the wolf."
"I hope so," said the dwarf. "If he eats the surface world, it won't be long before he finds us here and swallows us too."
The gods returned to the surface and found Fenrir feasting on an entire flock of sheep. The dread wolf was the size of a house now, and he growled as they approached. Luckily, he remembered how Tyr had fed him as a pup and didn't bite right away.
"What do you want?" he growled.
For even though he was a wolf, he was a child of Loki and the giant witch and had learned to speak from their magic.
"We are working on a new chain to hold down the giants," lied Odin. "Since you have the strength of a giant and a god, we thought we could use you to test it."
"I am strongest," said Fenrir.
"Exactly," said Tyr, covering Thor's mouth before he could argue. "That's why you are the perfect test."
"Test it, then," said Fenrir, and he let them lock the chain around his leg.
"Now, see if you can escape," said Odin.
The great wolf looked at the hulking chain and grinned, showing a gleaming armory of endless teeth. He kicked his foot once, a single shake like a dog trying to scratch his ear, and the chain shattered into 100 pieces. The metal links exploded outwards, and the gods took shelter behind Thor's whirling hammer.
"Good test," said Fenrir. "Bad chain."
The gods retreated, leaving the great wolf to his feast.
"What now?" said Thor. "The brute is just getting bigger." "Then so shall our chain," said Odin. "We will build a chain the likes of which the world has never seen."
The trio returned to the dwarven realm, and this time they found the legendary broker, who had forged many powerful weapons for the gods. They told him about their problem, and he nodded solemnly.
"Loki and his tricks will be the end of us all," he spat.
"I'll make a chain so strong that Mjolnir itself would shatter upon its links."
"Impossible,"
bellowed Thor, cradling his hammer close.
"Just an expression, friend,"
Broker laughed.
"Give me a week, and it shall be done."
The gods waited a week in the halls of the dwarves, feasting and wrestling, and then finally the chain was finished.
"It is my finest work," said Broker. "I've just finished linking it all together, and even I cannot lift it. Luckily, you have Thor here. You'll need his mighty back to get this to the surface."
He swept aside a sheet, and the gods gasped. Beneath was a chain of immense size. Every link was the size of a horse, all solid iron, engraved with spells to make it stronger and harder. Laid coiled in the dwarven workshop, it made a pile taller than any oak tree.
"You're a wonder," Tyr said.
"Thank you, Broker," said Odin. "Thor, to the surface."
"Right away."
"Ugh,"
Thor grunted. "This is heavy, even for me."
"Oh well, up we go."
Using the magic of his hammer, Thor flew to the surface, the mighty chain trailing and clanging behind him, like an endless metal Midgard serpent. They found Fenrir on a beach by the Atlantic Ocean. It had only been a week, but he had grown even more than they would have thought possible. The giant wolf was now the size of a warship, and he was making a meal of a colossal blue whale.
"Back again?" he growled.
"Our last chain failed," Odin said. "We were hoping you'd let us test another."
Fenrir stopped his feast, blubber in his fur, and trained his red eyes on the massive links of chain.
"I am strongest," he said. "Try me."
Thor hefted the chain, and they fastened it to Fenrir's leg. They stood back, sure that this time would work. The wolf kicked his leg, and the chain rattled and clanked, but held strong.
"It's working," bellowed Thor. "Let's go get a drink."
"Wait a minute," said Tyr.
Fenrir chuckled, and the wolf's laugh was like a deep, grating noise they could feel in their bellies.
"Ah, ha, ha, ha. Good try," he said, "but bad chain."
He turned and bit the binding. His evil teeth sank through the iron links like butter, and the chain fell to pieces at his feet.
"Maybe next time," he growled, and then he turned back to his whale.
The gods retreated back underground to the land of the dwarves, grumbling and looking over their shoulders the entire way.
"What now?" raged Thor, smashing apart a boulder with his hammer. "Loki has let this beast loose on the world, and what can we do about it?"
"We've made the biggest chain in all the world," said Tyr. "What else can we do?"
As they argued among the hammers and furnaces and workers at their forges, a stout dwarf approached them. He was short and broad, even for a dwarf, with hugely muscled arms and shrewd eyes under a soot-stained brow.
"I've heard what you're after," he said, "and you're going about it the wrong way."
"And who are you?" snarled Thor.
"Easy, son," said Odin. "This is one of the sons of Ivaldi, the finest craftsman in all of Asgard or any other realm."
He turned toward the dwarf.
"Tell me, what would be the right way, then?"
"That wolf is the strongest," the son of Ivaldi said. "You can't beat strength with strength, not at this level.
That brute is a hammer, and you keep feeding it iron."
The dwarf hefted his hammer and then smashed it down on a piece of iron on his workbench. The iron bent with a scream. Another smash, and the iron snapped in half.
"Iron's hard, but the hammer's made to break it."
"So what do we do then?" asked Tyr.
"When you're up against something strong and unyielding, when you're up against a hammer, you have to be subtle, careful, quiet."
He took out a handkerchief from his pocket and laid it on the workbench next to the broken iron. He smashed his hammer down and lifted it again, and the handkerchief was good as ever.
"When you're up against a hammer, you need to be like silk."
"Can you help us?" Odin asked. "Can you help us bind the wolf?"
"I can," Give me a week.
Done, said Odin, and the pair shook hands.
Again, the gods went to the dwarven halls and feasted and fought. But this time, their hearts weren't in it. They knew that Fenrir, that monstrous wolf, was only growing larger and deadlier back on the surface. So, they were overjoyed when the sons of Ivaldi finally called them back to their forge.
It was, quite a challenge, the dwarf said. But I think we've done it.
He pulled back a sheet, and there, on his workbench, was a long coil of the softest silken rope. It was so thin and fine, it was nearly translucent. But the gods could see that it was wound through with strength as well.
It's beautiful, gasped Odin. How did you do that? How did you do it? What even is it?
Ah, it's silk. And iron, that too. But that was just for a start. It is stitched through with magic. It has the sound of a cat's footsteps and the gasp of a breathing fish. It has the spit from a bird's lips and the shine of an old man's eye. It has all these things and more.
Footsteps? Bird spit? Shouted Thor. Those things don't even exist.
Ah, sure they do, said the son of Ivaldi. This binding has all the soft and subtle things of the world woven into it. And a brute like Fenrir the wolf, he will understand none of it. This will keep him bound, if anything can.
Thank you, Tyr said. This is our last chance.
So it better work, growled Thor.
Come now, said Odin, pulling Thor away. To the wolf!
The trio of gods flew back to the surface. This time, they found Fenrir lounging on a colossal island in the middle of a lake so big the edges were lost in the distant mist. The wolf was as big as a castle now, his eyes glowing red like blood moons, his teeth glittering icicles in a hungry mouth.
Ah, you come back, he growled. Another test?
Just one more, Odin said, holding up the armful of magic silk.
That looks different, Fenrir said, his eyes narrowing suspiciously.
Just a different idea, said Tyr. Will you let us try it? The great wolf shook himself, a small gesture, but with his colossal size it seemed to shake the very earth.
I don't trust different, he said,
and his hulking nose sniffed at the air like a maelstrom.
It smells like a trap.
Oh, but you can trust me, lied Tyr. I was the one who fed you as a pup, remember?
I remember, Fenrir said. Fine, you can try the rope. But one of you must put your arm in my mouth as a sign of mutual trust.
Now listen here, you shaggy monster, Thor puffed, but Tyr stopped him.
Very well, he said, pulling up his sleeve. Trust and trust alike. He thrust his arm into the great wolf's mouth, all the way up to his forearm. Fenrir didn't bite him, yet, but his teeth were bared and ready.
Tyr, Odin said, looking at his son.
They both knew the wolf was right. It was a trap. But they both also knew that this was the only way. Left unchecked, the wolf would only keep growing until he ate the world. This was the only way to stop him, and Tyr was willing.
Let's test it, Tyr said.
Thor used his magic hammer and slammed a hole deep into the spine of the world. Odin took the magic rope and tied one end to the earth and the other to Fenrir's leg.
Okay, he said. All set.
Fenrir gave his leg a mighty kick, and the magic silk just flexed with him. He put Tyr's hand in one side of his mouth and bit the rope with the other, but the silk just slid around his mighty teeth. Growing angry and growling deep in his throat like an earthquake, he began to claw and thrash and pull as hard as he could. Trees were flattened and the ground was split and stones were shattered,
but the silk held on without a mark.
Enough, the wolf growled around Tyr's arm. It's a good chain. Even I can't break it. Now, release me.
The gods all stood together and looked deep into Fenrir's blood-red eyes.
No, they said.
The wolf howled, realizing he'd been tricked. His jaws snapped shut, and in one gulp, he swallowed Tyr's hand whole. The god staggered back. His body healed in an instant, but with the wolf's magic, even Tyr couldn't regrow a hand. Odin and Thor caught him, and together they flew back to Asgard. Behind them, Fenrir howled in rage and thrashed around his island, but nothing he could do would set him free. The hungry wolf was finally bound, and he would stay safely tied up forever. The Norse gods and goddesses loved Tyr even more for what he had done. It hadn't been an easy thing, but the heroic god had surrendered his hand to save the world. To celebrate his sacrifice, they named one of the days of the week after him. And though the pronunciation has changed some over the years, we still have Tyr's Day, or Tuesday, every single week. The End. Today's story, Binding the Wolf, was an adaptation of a Norse myth written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.